which means I'm going to bring a message that I'm not really prepared for. And I was going to prepare this evening and wound up on the telephone all evening before time to come to the deacon's meeting. And I thought, well, maybe, Lord, you want me to do something else tonight. But the Lord just, it just kept coming on my heart. So I'm going to preach this evening about backsliding. Those, if you're here tonight and you're backslid on God, that this will help you, I hope. And you'll look at Psalm 106 and verse number 13. That's the number of rebellion in the Word of God. You know, the first time the number 13 appears there in Genesis, said the 13th year they rebelled. And, of course, it follows suit. That's what you call the law of first mention. And usually when something's first mentioned like that, it sets a precedence for the way it'll be used throughout the entire Bible. And that's why they say that about 85% of the 13s in the Bible are bad. 5% are good and 10% are neutral, something like that. But there is something to the number system that God set up. For example, 3, 7, 4, 5, 2, 1, 9, 10, 12, and of course here 40, and then of course here 13. Verse number 13, Psalm 106, verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, seven phases of backsliding. Now, as we begin the message tonight, you listen real carefully. And I believe that a person can honest to goodness really, really be saved, and yet let the devil knock them out of the race and get backslid on God. I know that the word backslide itself is not used in the New Testament, but the principle certainly is there. And if you've dealt with Christians much at all, you know that many times they what we call backslide. So a backslide means like you're going up a hill and you slide back. You were up here, and you slide back where you were. Now, here in the Word of God, the illustration in Psalm 106 is the story found way back in the book of Numbers. And in the book of Numbers, there were several men, that challenged the authority of Moses, the man of God. And they said, we're just as holy as you are. You think you're the only one that God ever talks to. We don't like the way you're doing things around here. We're going to do what we want to do. And it describes their actions here in seven phases. And I believe with all of my heart tonight, there's probably somebody in this church sitting here tonight. You are just as backslid as you can possibly be. And you don't understand how you got in the mess that you were in. There was a time when you was on fire for God. There was a time when you, just like these people, were delivered out of Egypt's bondage. There was a time when you got up from this altar or some other altar when you felt like a brand new baby on the inside. Boy, you just felt like the glory of God had settled on your soul. You got your Bible down and you'd read it and pray. You just thought, glory to God, life is wonderful. I'm saved by the grace of God. You remember that? How excited you were. And you were just whoopee, brother. I mean, inside and out, you were the happiest person in town. But something's happened down through the years. Now, I know that all of us, I don't believe there's any of us that don't get cold and get cool and then get right and get cold and get it right and then get backslid and get right. I'm talking about you that have just given up. I'm talking about you that just said, fooey with it. I've just quit trying. I'm just backslid and I'm going to stay backslid. Let me tell you tonight what happened to you and what is happening to you and what's going to happen to you. The first thing I want to say this evening is you see in verse 13, number one, they forgot who really helped them. They forgot that it was the Lord Himself that brought them out of Egypt's bondage. When they got out there in the desert and started wanting things they shouldn't want, they forgot how their lives were down there in bitter bondage to old Pharaoh. They forgot about how miserable it was when they had to report to work at daylight every morning and make bricks all day long, serving that wicked Pharaoh. Didn't have the freedom to worship like they wanted to. Didn't have the liberty to just go out and sacrifice to the Lord. And Brother God reached down there in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter number 12, when He told them to get them a lamb. And God said, get that lamb. And He said, put that lamb's blood on the door, above on the door and on the two sides, a picture of Jesus Christ dying for our sin. And the Lord said, I'm going to pass over, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the Lord come over that night over Egypt, that dreadful, woeful night. And Brother God's people were spared, and the devil's people all over that town. Cries were made to God up to heaven all night long for people that were dead in Egypt's land. What a dreadful night that must have been. And the next day Moses come out there. He said, all right, let's go. We're going out of Egypt's bondage. And the Bible said God with a high arm brought His people out of Egypt's bondage. They got out of there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the trumpets blowing? Can you imagine grandma and all the kids and getting the sheep and the cattle and getting them all together? They'd been down there all of them years, all of those many, many years serving Pharaoh. And here they go. They're going out of Egypt's bondage, walking out of there. See you around. I'm gone. No more your slave. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. Oh, how happy that they were. But you know what happened? They got out there in that wilderness. They got out there in that desert. They got to thinking about all the other nations around them and the things that they were doing. And they forgot that it was God Himself by His mighty hand that pulled them out of Egypt. Let me tell you something. That's easy for you and I to do tonight. Listen, how long has it been since you just sat down and remembered where you were when God found you? How long has it been since you just took a little while and just let your mind go back? Remember them old miserable days? Remember how miserable some of you were the first time you come to the house of God? I mean, some of you, your life was in a wreck. Your life was in ruins. You were miserable. You served the devil day and night. You had a drug problem. You had an alcohol problem. You had a problem with sin, and you couldn't get along with nobody, and you couldn't stand nobody, and they couldn't stand you. And boy, that night that God reached down just like He did them children, and He brought them out of Egypt's bondage. God reached down here in this church and picked up some of you and took you out of your sins and changed. How long has it been? You know, I've been saved over 18 years now. And sometimes I was preaching the other night over in Asheville, and I felt kind of dead inside, and I got to telling my testimony, and I got to telling about the night I got saved at Nebo Baptist Church. And buddy, about halfway through that thing, it got real to me again. I started thinking, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. As an 18-year-old boy, I went down there and fell on my face at Nebo Baptist Church, and the Lord reached down and saved my soul that night. I'll tell you what, the devil will try to get you to forget about that. He'll try to forget you to forget how good's God been to you. He'll get your eyes on things that are going on around you, or some disappointment or something like that. He'll make you forget how good God was to you, to pick you up out of the mire and put you up in the choir, to get you off that 100 proof and put you on living water, to take you out of nothing and set you right down in the middle of everything.
That's where God found us, down in Egypt's bondage. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt's bondage. And don't ever forget that. You know where you start backsliding? You forgot where God found you and where He helped you. Yes, sir, if they'd have remembered how the Lord... Listen, I don't want to embarrass anybody. We've got people in here tonight. If you hadn't got saved, you'd be on the chain gang right now. Some of you would be in hell, no doubt. I don't think I'd have made it this long. The chances I was taking, the way I was living, I tell you, I used to drive like a maniac. Oh, before I got saved. And I've really calmed down now. But I'm telling you what, if God hadn't saved me, I've probably been in hell right now on my way. I'm not scared now because I'll go to heaven. But I tell you what, brother, I just getting mangled what I don't want to think about. But I'll tell you something, brother, when God found me, when the Lord found me, I had no hope. I was 18 years old and I had already was tired of it. I thought, this is nothing. There's got to be more to life than this. There's something, there's always something inside me that wanted to get a hold of something bigger than what school, you know, and playing ball and listening to music. I wanted to tap in somewhere, and thank God that night I did. And the Lord saved me. They forgot about that. They forgot who really helped them. Some of you in here tonight, the devil will try to get you to forget where you were when God found you, and he'll mess you up. But let me say, secondly, this evening, they went ahead without God's counsel. You see that in verse 13? It said they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. All I have tonight is just a skeleton outline, these seven things, and everything else, I'm just putting it on you as it comes to me. They forgot. They did not go by God's counsel. You see, when a man backslides, there's some point in his life where the book says, do one thing, and he goes the other way. As a matter of fact, everybody that backslides, if you'll talk to them, they can usually take you back to one point in their life where they got off track. And they can say, I remember that one time I had a decision to make. I had somebody tell me just recently. It was a man who had got out of God's will and got involved in sin. He said, I was going down the road and the devil put a thought in my mind. And he said, right then I should have kept going. But he said, I turned and did what the devil told me to do. Now there's a point. There's a point right there. You see, first of all, when you're living for God, the devil will put something in front of you. And he'll say, hey, Dale, wouldn't you like to do this? And you'll say, no way. God delivered me out of that stuff. I'm through with that. I'm saved. And he'll keep coming around and keep coming around. And if you forget, like point number one said, if you forget what God done for you, first thing you know, the devil's counsel starts sounding pretty good. And he says, why don't you try this for a little while? Why don't you go this way for a little while? Now, what happens is you take the devil's counsel over God's counsel, and then you start getting messed up. I say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, when we adopt the world's attitude and the world's philosophy over what God said in the Bible, we are already on our way down. On our way down. Everything God says, the world says the opposite. The world says tonight that it's all right to shack up and all right to mess around and drink and take God's name in vain and do it. It's not all right. And that's the counsel that you don't get from the Lord, you get from the devil. Notice number three, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Verse 14. Now, there's the way your heart, you know your heart ain't right with God. You're always wanting something. They lusted exceedingly. Now let me say this tonight. That word lust in the Bible don't always mean physical sexual. They lusted after food. You can lust after money. You can lust after popularity. Now, that lust just means a desire. That's what it means. Now, most of the time it's used in the physical sense, but I'm telling you, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Oh, how pitiful it is to see a child of God get in that shape. And when once they served God, and once they served the Lord, and once they had no care in this world, once they were totally satisfied, but now all they do, they want this, they want that. Have you ever noticed somebody backslide? They try to buy a bunch of stuff and go in debt and buy a new car, try to make themselves happy. They'll go out and get them a boat, you know, and get them this and a new car. I'm not saying those things are wrong or that those things are a sign you backslid. I'm just saying when you do backslide, you start lusting exceedingly, and you start wanting this, you start wanting that, you start wanting this, you start wanting that. First thing you know, you start wanting things you ain't got no business wanting. You start wanting things you ain't got no business having. And there is no way in the world that a man that's saved and away from God is ever going to be satisfied with the things of this world. There is no way. You can't do it. You can't be satisfied if you're saved trying to be happy out there in the world. The most miserable man in McDowell County is not the sinner. He's the Christian trying to serve the devil. Now, sinners are miserable, but they ain't as miserable as that Christian who's got Jesus in his heart and out trying to enjoy the world. Boy, you talk about miserable. You know why? You said sitting out there at that bar, you say, boy, I'm going to get drunk with the rest of these people. And God's in there the whole time saying, no, 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 you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. It's just like something got your heart ringing it out like that. You know what I'm talking about. When you go places you shouldn't go, do things you shouldn't do. I tell you what, I've had myself in a few circumstances since I've been saved. And brother, I tell you, I was sitting there and everybody around me be just as comfortable and my flesh be crawling. And it's not because I'm holy. It's because there's something inside me that just can't stand when the Lord's inside you. You can't rest enjoying the things of this world. Amen. Have you ever been somewhere you shouldn't have been since you've been saved? And the whole time you're there, you think a roof's going to fall in? And you've maybe gone to the movies or somewhere with a bunch of people, and the whole time you're saying, this is no place for me. This is no place for me. I'm a child of God. I ain't got no business being in here. And your flesh saying, oh, it's all right. It's all right. It's not that bad. And the whole time your spirit saying, yeah, yeah, what if the Lord comes back? Yeah, yeah. Boy, ain't that a miserable shape to be in? That is, a lot of God's people gets messed up. You know what the best thing to do? When you get saved, just throw up your white flag and surrender. Just go ahead and say, you bought me, Lord. I belong to you. I'm yours. Amen. I'll tell you what, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. Now let me show you number four quickly tonight. I'm not going to be long. Quickly. Number four, they got what they wanted physically. They got what they wanted physically. Look at verse number 15. I'm sorry. The Bible said he gave them their request. He gave them their request. Did you know God will not let you have what you want? But after you get it, you'll wish you didn't. Did you know God will let you have what you want, but you'll lose what you've got? The devil's offering you a deal, but he don't ever tell you the other side of the deal. His part of the deal is, I'll give you all this stuff, but he don't tell you what he wants in return. He wants your testimony. He wants your joy. He wants your assurance. He wants your peace, and that's the price you'll pay for the devil's little trinkets he sells down there in his flea market. Yes, sir! Yes, sir! I know of men. I'm thinking of a man right now who used to serve God. I think he even used to be an officer in a church. Not this church, some other church. He drove a truck, had a fine wife, a beautiful family, a nice home. When he was out on the truck one night, he met a waitress at the truck stop. He began to flirt with her and vice versa. And first thing you know, something happened that shouldn't have happened. Next thing you know, he's ready to leave his wife, his family. He gave up a fine brick home, a nice, beautiful wife, lovely family, and everything just because the devil tempted him. He saw something that he wanted, and the Bible says God gave him their request. Let me tell you something tonight. You can go out, you can have what you want. But you better hear me and hear me well. you're really going to pay a price, friend. Number five said they lost what they had spiritually. See verse 15? He gave them the request, but sent leanness unto their soul. Can't have it both. If you let that flesh have what it wants, you know who's going to suffer? Your soul is. God sent leanness unto their soul. That man right now is no good for God. That man right now, as far as I know, has no testimony, no joy, no power. Sure, he got the pretty little waitress, and I doubt if she's that pretty. He got the waitress, but he lost his joy. He lost his power. He lost his victory. He lost his influence. He lost his testimony. And I bet he dreads a day when Jesus comes. He stands before him. He gave him the request, but sent leanness unto his soul. Quickly, number six. The bad thing about it is they blamed the preacher and his staff. Look at verse 16. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. You remember back there in that story in Numbers, don't you? They said, Moses, you think you're such hot stuff. We don't have to listen to you. We'll do our own thing. We're going to do what we want to do. It don't matter what you say. I don't care what God said or you said or Aaron said. We're going to do what we want to do. God said, all right. You know, isn't it funny how a lot of times people go out and sin, get their life all messed up and blow their testimony and backslide, and then you ask them what's wrong and they blame the church and blame the preacher and point the finger at everywhere in the world except where it's supposed to be pointing. I've talked to, I don't know how many people in this town that maybe went to some church down the road here, out there on that road, down toward Sugar Hill, up toward the Cove, down out in PG, down toward Nebo, and they'll say, well, preacher, I used to go to church regular, but I'll tell you one thing, that preacher down there done me dirty, and he done something I didn't like, and I found out the deacon's done this and that. I tell you what, I just ain't fooled with it ever since. That's the way they're going to live. Huh? Listen, buddy, you can't point your finger at nobody on this earth and say it's their fault I'm not serving God. If you're not serving God, it's your fault. Now, I tell you what, but listen to me. Listen, you don't think, you think Christians ain't done me dirty? You think I ain't been stabbed in the back? You think, listen, my preacher friends has told lies on me, spread gossip, told rumors. What if I said, well, God, they're just not nice to me. I'm going to quit serving you. Because I know deep in my heart that I have no excuse not to fulfill my calling and do what God told me to do. It don't matter what nobody else says or does. I can't point my finger at Jim Baker or Jimmy Swagger and say, well, it's their fault. I'm not going to serve God because this messed up, that messed up, and he done me wrong. She stabbed me in the back and this happened and that happened. I'm going to stand before God one day and answer to God for what Danny done, not what somebody else done. Listen, they pointed their finger and said, well, Moses, it's your fault and Aaron, it's your fault. God sure didn't agree with that because they went down in the ground and Moses and Aaron stayed safe. Can't blame your sins on the preacher. A lot of churches where I go preach, they'll say, well, our preacher, he's all right, but I tell you, I just, and I know what the problem is. He's busted their sin somewhere or another, probably, and crossed them, and they've got it in for him. And they're going. What they're trying to do is snub up him and never say amen, and starve him out so he'll leave, and they can get him another preacher. Did you know the average Baptist church in this area keeps a pastor 18 months? 18 months, man. Let me tell you something. You know why that? It takes about 18 months for him to get to know them. Anybody can fake it that long. About the time he finds out how they live and he knows everybody's sin, they're ready to ship him off. And that ain't the way it's supposed to work, folks. God calls a preacher. Now, let me tell you something else, too. You respect the office of the preacher. The office. People say, well, I tell you what, somebody, some preacher done something I ain't never had no confidence in preachers ever since. Listen, a preacher's human being just like you. And the same devil's after him, it's after you. The way this thing works, you respect the office. The office. And brother, that's God's ordained plan. The way this thing's supposed to work. And you mark it down. I'm not trying to say this because I'm a preacher. I'm saying this to help you. If I was in another church, I'd say the same thing. You check these people. That's finding fault with the preacher. They don't like this. They don't like that. They don't agree with nothing. They don't like the way he does this. They don't like the way he does that. They don't like the way that. You watch it. Their heart's already messed up. They're already backslidden. I didn't say you agree with everything the preacher says or does. I'm just saying when these people are looking for fault and picking and finding this wrong and finding that wrong, they've already trying to shift the blame off theirself over on somebody else. They lost what they had spiritually. They blamed the preacher and the staff. But here's the scary thing and the bad thing tonight. Number 7, they were never heard from again. The earth swallowed them up. Now think about that. Did you hear what I said? Nobody ever heard tell them again. God looked down that day and said, "All right. That's what you want it, huh?" They said, "Yes, we're sick and tired of serving you. We're sick and tired of serving Moses." And Moses said, "All right. Whoever wants to come with me, stand over here. And whoever wants to stand with you, go over there." And they went over there. And the Bible said God opened up the ground, swallowed them up. And it didn't just get them. It got their wife and their children. Help me now. Keep these young'uns quiet. Mark that for a minute so I can preach for just a minute and I'll be through. You hear me? You know what? There's a many a person that used to sit right here on these pews. And they sit right here and heard me preach. They've heard the Parkers sing. They've heard the youth choir sing. They've heard all this singing, all these testimonies. And then they started lusting after evil things. Finally, they quit church. And nobody ever hears tell of them anymore. I have people ask me all the time, "Whatever happened to so-and-so?" Help me, mamas! I have people all the time ask me, "Whatever happened to so-and-so?" You know what happened to them? The earth swallowed them up. They're out there in the world now. You never hear tell of them anymore. I could name you names tonight. People who stood in that building up there. I've seen them shout. I've seen them get in that pulpit up there and preach. They're sitting at home watching TV tonight. "Whatever happened to old so-and-so, Brother Danny?" The earth opened their mouth, swallowed them up. They ain't worth a dime. Don't become like them tonight. You know where it all started? It all started when they forgot who really helped them. They went ahead without God's counsel. They started lusting after things they shouldn't have. They got what they wanted. They lost what they had. They blamed the preacher. And the world got them, and you ain't never heard tell of them since. I don't want to be a has-been, folks. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be one of these folks that say, somebody says, "Well, whatever happened to old Danny? You know, I used to really get a blessing when he'd preach." And somebody have to say, "Ah, he wanted what the flesh wanted, and the earth swallowed him up." I wouldn't want that to be said about me. I'd rather be dead and in my grave than to have it be said that I just gave up Jesus for this old world. It's the principle of thing, man. It's the principle. The world's what nailed him to the cross. And I tell you, there ought to be a fight down on the inside of us as Christians. There's never been a time when it's as hard to stay right with God as it is now. Honest to goodness, people, if the Lord don't come or we don't have revival, we are being engulfed in a flood. I saw in the news the other night, I heard somewhere, they just have the music video awards this week, you know, and MTV gives their big awards, which is dogs bragging on dogs. And they give out trophies and awards, and the world's greatest, hottest videos
went to a group called REM, and the name of the song is Losing My Religion. And everybody in Hollywood, everybody, the hit song of the year is Lose a Religion. That's the attitude that people have, brother. Forget God, forget the church. Some old psychic or something I heard the other day, she said, I was disappointed with organized religion, so all religions are right, and I'm my own spiritist, and I'm incarnated, and Shirley MacLaine's being reincarnated, and everybody's getting this and getting that. You know what that is? God give them their request, but he'll send leanness to their soul. And I want to tell you something, folks. The world's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's unbelievable what's going on right here in McDowell. I mean, you've seen the papers lately. You've seen the papers, ain't you? Little old town like Marion. Seemed like this thing, we hit TV about every year or two for something or another. I still believe God getting back at them for voting beer and wine in and kicking the Gideon Bibles out. People believe what they want to. And ever since then, God has made a fool out of this town in front of this country. Let me tell you something tonight, brother. You can have what you want. You can go out and get drunk tonight. But oh boy, will you ever pay a price if you're saved. If you're saved, you're going to be the most one more miserable person. You best just get right with God tonight before the devil swallows you up and we never hear tell of you again. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now tonight I want to ask you a question. You say, Brother Danny, I'm here tonight and I feel the pull of that old world. Well, so do I. All of us do. The devil will make it look awful good sometimes. But you know what you got to do? You just got to dedicate yourself to God. You just got to dedicate yourself to God. If you need to come and rededicate your life tonight, you just come on, get out of your seat and come. There's many coming already. Others may need to come. You don't want to be a statistic, man. You don't want to be a has-been. You used to serve God. What happened? You used to be on fire for the Lord. What in the world's wrong with you? Come on, that's right. Come on, keep coming. Others. Just this little simple message. Just these few thoughts that I believe the Lord laid on my heart to give you. Would you come, Father? Please, Lord, help that one who's here tonight, who's cold. Dear Lord, please help them. Please, dear God, help them. Help them, Lord, to get their life on this altar. Lord, don't let them backslide. Don't let them do it. Help them, dear God, to stay on fire for you. Sometimes when it's hard and sometimes when they don't even want to do right, help them to determine in their heart at that time and that point they're going to do right. We'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody knows the song. You know it. Let's sing the first verse. You need to come and pray tonight. changes those desires. Will you come? Will you come right now while we sing? Come on. Come on right now.
I've wandered far away from God.
Amen.
Now I'm coming home.
Amen.
The path of sin.
Yes.
Long I've strung.
Come on, friend. Come on, let's get down here and get it right. Let's get down here on this altar tonight and get right with God. Everybody, let's sing. Everybody, help us.
Coming,
sing.
Coming home, coming home.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. One more verse. Sing it, brother.
I've wasted me.
Don't waste your life. Come on. Come on. Don't waste it.
Now I'm coming home.
Amen.
Now
come on tonight. Come on tonight. If you need to come, come on right now. Amen. Everybody sing now. Help us.
Coming home. Coming home. Evermore to roam. Open wide thine arms above.
Amen. Singing tonight while these are still praying. It's a daily thing. Now you only get saved one time. It's a daily thing. Dying out to self, staying right with God. That's something you got to do every day. Is pray and rededicate your life. You say, Brother Danny, I get tired of it. Well, that's what's going to make heaven so sweet. We'll lay our burdens down. The fight will be over. Just hang tough until that day comes. It'll be worth it.